first couple of shiurim, we spoke about the basic zera of pasakim, and we discussed are there any leniencies? Should we say that the zera was not nispashe b'chol Yisrael, and therefore maybe there's room for kula? And even if we don't say that it was lo nispashe b'chol, even if it did take hold initially, but then there was a kula later, they wanted to be matil later. And we spoke about the parameters of that kind of a heter. Is it only when Pas Yisrael is not matzli? Is it even when the Pas Yisrael is available? And what does it mean that the Pas Yisrael is available or it's not available? But today, Shiurim, I'd like to shift our attention to another very important shaila in Pas Akum. Even if we are to assume that there is a gzeira Pas Akum, there is some place where Pas Akum is actually prohibited, but the question is, what does Pas Akum mean? What does Pas mean? What does bread mean? And what does Akum mean? What does Shel Akum mean? These are the two major questions that we have to address to define what Pas Akum actually is. There are certain instances where the gzeira Pas Akum does apply. We mentioned that the Shach was machmer for the Mechaber. The Shach feels that if Pas Yisrael is matzoi, if it's available, so then one is not supposed to eat Pas Akum. We said even those that are mekel for the Ramah would agree aser simei tshuva, and maybe on Shabbos and Yom Tov, one should eat only Pas Yisrael and not Pas Akum. So there are circumstances where we will be machmer not to eat Pas Akum. The question is, what is defined as Pas Akum? So for today, I'd like to talk about the definition of Pas, and in the future, we'll talk about what does Shel Akum mean. There's a fascinating comment of Tosis and Beitza that starts us rolling in this definition of Pas. Hey, if you have the Tosfos, I made a photocopy of the Tosis and Beitza. I didn't put it in the Marmakomas per se, but we have it here in the extra photocopy. So in the second parak of the Sefer Beitza, they're talking about Erev Tavshilin. The din is for an Erev Tavshilin, you're supposed to have Pas and Tavshil. You're supposed to prepare a little bit. That's the beginning of your preparation for the Yom Tov. You should have Pas and Tavshil. So in that discussion, the Rishonim talk about what's called Pas. So it says Tosfos there, on Daf Tezayin Amud Beis in Beitza, the end of their Maslach Kamash Malan. He says, Va'osa Nilash. This food Nilash. Well, what does Nilash mean? So the Ramah that quotes this Tosfos, the Ramah defines Nilash a little bit better. A little bit better. Still a little difficult, but a little bit better. What does Ramah say? This is in Yerudei and Kuf Yud Beis Sivov. Ramah says, Va'osa Nilash Shekorin Kichlich. Omine mesika shekorin lekach. Got it? Kichlich and lekach. Okay, for those of us who are not native Yiddish speakers, right, so kichlich, we recognize that. That's kichl, right? That's the kichl. So what's a kichl? A kichl is like a cookie. It's made with a belila, and there's some kind of a dough. It's a hard cookie, maybe a little sweetened cookie or something like that. That's what a kichlich is. Lekach is honey cake. Lekach is like a honey cake, a sponge cake of some sort, a sweetened cake. That's what nilush means in toast. So let's go back to toast now. But also nilush, midlom evarchen alayo b'pirchas hamotzi, yesh ben mishum beiz nun. Right? Nilush, you don't make a hamotzi on them, so the beiz nun upon, what's beiz nun? Bishul nochrim. Bishul nochrim. I'm sure you figured this out in Seder, right? There's a din of bishul nochrim on it because it's not pas. If you don't make a hamotzi, it's not pas. Miu zaktois says Omer Harav Rabbeinu Yechiel. Rabbeinu Yechiel argues, and he says the ain't ben mishum bishul nachrim. Rabbeinu Yechiel says that it has a din of pas. There's no din of bishul nachrim. Kevan the derech hafias pas avid lahu va'odi kavasu dasayu alayu mevarich brichas hamotzi alma pas nino. Rabbeinu Yechiel says he thinks that it's pas, it's not bishul. So it's subject not to the rules of bishul akum, but rather to the rules of pas akum. There's mokula in pas akum certain times during the year. So he says it's subject to the rules of pas akum. Why? He says two things, two points. Derech afias pas avid lehu. You have some kind of afia, you bake it, it's derech afias apas. And the reality is you make a hamotzi on it too. Tosfos started by saying that Nilush, you don't make hamotzi on it, therefore it's subject to the rules of Bishul Nachim, not Pasakum. Comes to Rabbi Nechil and says, but you do make hamotzi on it. If you kovei asud on it, you make hamotzi. So that defines it as Pas. What's Rabbi Nechil saying? Well, the Nilush is really what we call Pasa Babakisnin. Pasa Babakisnin is something that You make a mezonos on it without a kviyas suda, but with a kviyas suda, you make a hamotzi on it. So he says, if you do make a hamotzi on it, pasul b'kisnin, as the name would imply, is a pas. It is baba kisnin. The word baba kisnin means it comes in a filling, right? The basic definition of pasul b'kisnin is a filled dough. You have a dough and you fill it with fruit and with other, you know, honey and other things inside. So that's baba kisnin. It's a kiss. It's a filled dough. So on that type of dough, you make a mezonos, says the Gemara in Brachos. But if you kovei asuda alayu, then you make a hamotzi. So this interview machlokas Rabbeinu Yechiel in the first day of Tosfos, where the pasul baba kisnin is subject to the rules of pasakim. Does it fall under the rubric of vishalakim? Does it fall under the rubric of pasakim? That seems to be the machlokas. But it's a little difficult, right? The first day in Tosus agrees that if you kovei a suda on this pasul baba kisnin on the nilush, you are going to make a hamotzi. So if you make a hamotzi, it is called pas. So why wouldn't the rule of pasakim apply? First day in Tosus and Beitza assumes that the rule of vishalakim applies to the nilush. But why? If it's pasul baba kisnin, it is pas. The haraya, you do make a hamotzi on it if you kovei a suda on it. So why should we apply the rule of vishalakim and not the rule of pasakim? What's the machlokas? So l'chora, the machlokas is about the nature of pasakim. When did Chazal apply the rule of pasakim? Rabbi Yechiel holds that anything that has a din pas is bechlal pasakim. So it's dependent on whether you make a hamotzi on it. So as long as you make a hamotzi on it when you're kovei a suda, you make a hamotzi. You only make a hamotzi on lech, on pas. So Rabbi Yechiel, if you make a hamotzi on the item, even if it's only when you're kovei a suda on it, but it has to be called pas. So if it has a din of pas vis-a-vis brachas, that you do make a hamotzi on it, then it has a din of pas vis-a-vis the rule of pasakim. What do the Bali Tosfos say in the first day? What do they disagree about? So l'chora, what the Bali Tosfos disagree about is not whether pasul baba kisnin is called pas. It has to be called pas. If you don't make a hamotzi on it, if you make a hamotzi on it, it has to be called pas. It's lechem. It's lechem. So what are they disagreeing about? L'chora, they're disagreeing about pasakim. When did Chazal institute the din of pasakim? The first day in Tosfos holds that just because it's called pas does not mean that it's subject to the rule of pasakim. It has to be a pas chashuva. It has to have a certain objective chashivas to it, an extra chashivas to it. It's not enough to be pas. It has to be pas chashuv. If it's not a pas chashuva, even if you make a hamotzi on it and it's called pas, it's not subject to the rules of pasakim. That's the machlokas, the two days in Tosfos. They both agree that pasul baba kisnin is defined as pas v'harayi. You make a hamotzi on it, so it has to be called lechem. But the first day in Tosfos holds that just because it's called lechem and it gets a hamotzi at some points in time, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a pas chashuva. The first day in Tosfos holds that the fact that you don't make a hamotzi always, the fact that you only make a hamotzi if you're kovei a suda on it, that gufa demonstrates, that's the simen, that it's not a pas chashuva. So because it's not enough of a pas chashuva, the rule of pasakim is not going to apply. That's why it's subject only to the rule of bishul. Okay, these are the two days of Tosfos and Beitza. How do we pass them? So the Ramah quotes one of the opinions. Let's see the Ramah. Let's try to figure out what the Ramah is saying. The Ramah, in Yeridei, in Simen Kuf Yudbei Sivav, let's start with the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, "B'makom shenagu hetta b'pashal palter, afilu hu nilosh b'beitzim ashebeitzim tuchem alpanav muter." The Shulchan Aruch says, "Places where they're knowing a heter with pas palter, we said pashal balabayis. Now, whenever we say a heter pasakim, it's going to be palter akum. It's going to be a professional baker. We're not makel for pashal balabatim. Even the Mordechai, who's the most makel in pasakim." But the Shachs quotes opinions that even he would say that Pasha Balabai is not to be prohibited. So it says the Shulchan Aruch, even with the Noeg Heter and Pasha Palter Akum, Afiluhu Nilosh Bebeitzim, even if it's kneaded with eggs, or the eggs are spread on top of it, like an egg challah, right? Well, an egg challah has both. It has eggs inside, and you spread the eggs on the surface. Says the Shulchan Aruch, it's still mutter. Somehow that's not significant enough to take away the shame pas. not enough, doesn't have enough beitzim in it, and beitzim tuchim al ponav is botel, it's mutter. But he says, okay, we'll leave that in panda for a moment. Says the Ramah, v'yesh osrim, the pasha beitzim tuchim al ponav, v'shem shem be'en, v'enim betelim, l'gabim pas, v'yechim v'shem b'shulei ovdei kochavim. The Ramah says that maybe with beitzim tuchim al ponav there's going to be a problem, because the beitzim are be'en, it's not like the beitzim are mixed into the pas, but they're actually be'en on the surface of the pas. So maybe that's actually worse. And it's not subject to the problem of pasakim, it's subject to the din of bishalakim. Bishalakim is much worse than pasakim. You need to solve that problem. There are fewer kulos during the year, during most of the year for bishalakim. Okay, that's in terms of the beitzim tuchim al ponav. Is the Ramah, v'osa nila shakaran kich lechomini mesika shakaran lekach, hem b'chlau pas. ובמקום שנוגם הטל בפש שלו וכחובים, גם הם מותרים. ולא אמינן שיש בהם משום בשולי עובדי כחובים. Says the Ramah, he thinks that Nilosh are בכלל פסעקום. So who does the Ramah paskin like? Rabbeinu Yechiel, the second day in Tosus and Beitzah. That Nilosh, because you make a hamotzi on it, it has a din of pas, Ovid lohu afiyas hapas, mais afiyas hapas, and you make a hamotzi on it, so even though it's only when you kovei a suda, Rabbi Nechil says that's enough to be called pas. Rama paskins like him. Rama says that the rule of pasakam applies to this pas of Abakistan. Then he talks about other kichlach, but this is the basic shita of the Rama. It seems pretty simple. Right? It seems pretty simple that pas of Abakistan, what does that mean? Cakes and cookies, and it's very important. You know, pasakam. We can't just talk about bread. There are other things that are baked, pastries, cakes, and cookies, and different things. So are they subject to the rule of pasakim? We say no, it's not bread. That's subject to bishlakim. So comes Rabbeinu Yechiel and says there's a big kula here, subject to the rule of pasakim. So kol hashana kula, if there's room for kula, if the pas Yisrael is not available, or even if it is physically available, but if the pasakam is qualitatively better, if it's more expensive, we talked about all the different details. So where there's a kula for pasakam, kol hashana kula, there would be a kula for this, for these cakes and cookies as well, as long as, of course, we know that they're kosher. Yeah, they have to have kosher ingredients in them. There has to be some kind of hashgacha on them, but the extra requirements that we're going to see that exist in Bishul Akum to turn it into a Bishul Yisrael, to make sure it's not Bishul Akum, that wouldn't apply to these items because they're subject to the rule of Pas Akum. If there's a kula of Pas Akum, that would apply to the cakes and the cookies. That's what it would seem from the Ramah, Rabbi Yechiel's Pesach. Comes the Shach and turns over the world. Shach turns over the world. The Shach in Sivkot and Yudches says as follows, Shekorin Kichlich, Dafka Sheblilosan Ova V'yesh Bahen Torah Lechem. Shach says, I'm willing to agree, Rabbi Yechiel is correct, that Pas of Abakistan is defined as Pas. It's subject to the rules of Pas Akam, not Bishul Akam, but only if it's a Blila Ova. Blila Ova, that's a code word. Blila Ova means dough. Right? There are two types of Blilos. There's a Blila Ova, there's a Blila Raka. Blila Ova and a Blila Raka. We've spoken about this in the Hilchos Brachos. Those who are in the shiur for those Sunday halacha shiurs. Right, a blila ova is a dough, and a blila raka is a soft kind of mixture, what we call a batter, a pourable dough. Now, it gets a little tricky, right? Because sometimes you don't have an actual dough, but at the same time it's not really pourable. Like sometimes you add a little bit more flour to it. Say some donuts are made out of a blila raka. It's not really pourable, but it's not really hard. It's a difference. But the extremes we get. The extremes are blila ova is a dough and blila raka is a batter. So comes the Shach and says that the only time the Ramah, Rabbeinu Yechiel, will assume that the nilosh, the pas of Kisnin, is subsumed under pasakum, that's only if it's made through a blila ova, made with a dough, and it has a Torah lechem. It has what's called the tzuras hapas. It has the form of bread. If it doesn't have the form of bread, and it's not made with the blila raka, it's not made with the blila ova, it's only made with the blila raka with a soft batter, says the Shach, that's not called pas. It's not called pasa. It won't be subject to the rules of pasa akam. You have to be machmir to treat it like vishal akam. Where the shah come off to say this? Ken kosa b'tof ches sham din yud beis ayin sham. What is tof ches? Toras chatos. The Ramah wrote a sefer called Toras Chatas. Yeah, when you learn Yerideya, and you learn Hilchashchita and Bas Bechol and Tarov, so you'll use this, the Heter and the Toras Chatas and the Sharidura, and these are the classical poiskim. The Toras Chatas is the Ramah. So it's not like the Shach made this up. He did get it from the Ramah. What's interesting is that the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch doesn't add that Nakuda. He doesn't add this point. The Ramah happens to add these two points in his Toras Chatas, but not here in the Ramah. The Shach is, and the Shach says, I think this is what the Ramah had in mind over here. Wow. This is quite a chum. Because right, according to the Shach, what emerges is that if you have a pasuk of a kisten that's made out of blila raka, it's made from a batter, that's not called pasuk. It won't be subject to pasakam. For that, you have to be machmer to treat it like bishalakam. Can you think of a case? A case? Sponge cake. Honey cake. Chocolate cake. I don't want to get you hungry, but chocolate cake made with a batter. Is a simple, classical chocolate cake. I'm not talking about a strudel. Strudel is made with a blila ova, right? Apple pie is made with a blila ova. We're really getting hungry now, right? But a regular sponge cake, that's blila raka. According to the Shach, that wouldn't be subject to the rule of pasakam. You'd have to be machmir in sponge cake to treat that as something that's not pas, to treat that as bishul and not as pas. This is what the Shach wants to suggest within the Ramah. According to the Shach, it sounds like in order to be called lechem, in order to be called pas for the din of pasakam, in order to be called lechem, you need a few elements here, right? It's got to be a blila ova. Of course, you need an afia. Right? It has to be baked. It can't be cooked. Blila ova and afia and tohar lechem, suras pas. All these elements are necessary in order to be defined as lechem. Now, if you mean all the cakes that are made out of blila raka, made from a batter, they would not be defined as lechem. Where did he get this from? So I saw Rabbi Yeshua Flug, who's a Talmid Chacham, lives in Boca Raton. So he wrote up a piece on Pasakum. He wanted to suggest that if you look at Rabbeinu Yechiel, he might allude to this idea in his Loshen. Interesting suggestion. What does Rabbeinu Yechiel say? Again, he claims that the reason why the Nilush of the Chlal Pasakam is for two reasons. Not just because you make a Hamotzi on it when you're Koveya Suda, but what else? So he first says, Kevin the Derech Hafiyas Pas Ovid Lohu. Since you're doing a Derech Hafiyas Pas, what does it mean Derech? Those are a lot of words over there. Derech Hafiyas Pas Ovid Lohu. Could have said, Kevin Shu Nefer. Period. One word. He says, Derech Hafiyas Pas. What does all that mean? So Rabbi Flug wanted to suggest maybe the Shach, maybe the Toras Chatas, thought that Derech Hafiyas Pas means you're baking it like bread is normally baked. How's bread normally baked? Of course, it's baked in an oven, but how's bread normally baked? With a blila ova. You're making it and baking it in the way that bread is normally baked. It's a jump. But that's what he wanted to suggest. Maybe he saw it in that Lushan, that he's alluding to the fact that it has to be made the way bread is normally made. But it's normally made by making a dough and baking the dough. So maybe that's why only if it's a blila ova would it be defined as lechem, and if not, it wouldn't be defined as lechem. If that can explain the chum of the Shach. Will.
Is Torah lechem a separate thing that it needs to have, or that's just part of the same
Yeah,
thing?
It's a separate thing. Meaning, even if it would be made with a blila ova, but it doesn't have a surah tapas. Yeah, like I'll give you an example. Spaghetti. Macaroni. Right? No one says you make a hamotzi on macaroni. But why? It's not a batter. Tell me with the batter. It's made with the dough. Right? You put the stuff together. It's made in sheets, I think. Right? Like, you make a
Sorry, aren't there like three conditions for pasta with kissing or something like that? And so on. Like there's a third one, no? I don't know, maybe I made this up.
No, what you're referring to is that there are three definitions of pasta with kissing. Shulchan Aruch has three definitions, but before you get to pasta with kissing, you gotta call it lechem, you gotta call it pas. Pas, but then if it has extra things in it, if it's a filled dough, or if it's a sweetened dough, or if it's a brittle crack, or something, if it has certain qualities to it, we'll talk about that in Mitzvah Shem, but it has certain qualities, so then it gets downgraded. But how do you get to pas? How do you get to lechem? So tzuras pas is an intrinsic, is an integral part of the definition of lechem. So I think one of the classical examples that they say Tosus and Brachas and Aflamet Zayin says they have some other words that I think Virmshaish maybe correctly from the Tosus. There's some other laws words that the people that translators later have said is basically macaroni or spaghetti or something like that. It's made out of a batter. Then they cut the batter into little pieces. Right, so even if you were to bake that, it doesn't have a tzuras hapas. Just looks like spaghetti. I mean, they happen to cook it. They don't bake it, though. I think initially it is baked. It's baked, but then we cook it. But bekitza, if it doesn't have a tzuras hapas, then it's not going to get on mozi. Okay, so this is the shach. Many of the poskim were very troubled with the shach. Rav Binyamin Cohen and his chelkas Binyamin. Here in Kuf Yud Beis in Sifkaten Samach Dalet, quotes the Avnei Nezer, Aruch HaShulchan, a host of Achronim are very troubled with this Shach. Because we have to keep in mind that the definition of Lechem is relevant not just for Pasachim and not just for Birchas HaMotzi, but for Challah also, Hilchas Challah. You have to have a Lechem, you have to be making a Lechem. You don't have to have the lechem, but at the time of the belila, when you make the batter, you put the kemach together with the water, then you mafresh challah. Challah is a function of lechem also. There's a lashon of lechem in the pasuk, so without a din lechem, then there's no mitzvah of hafreshas challah. So what defines lechem for hilchas challah? So there's a machlokas rishonim about that. Many rishonim assume that if you have a belila ava, that's sufficient, but you need a blila ava. You need a blila ava. Without a blila ava, there's nothing to talk about. Some of the Rishonim fine-tune that definition. The Rash Mishans, Hilchas Challah says that it's not enough just to have a blila ava, but it has to be a blila ava al das lefos, that you have in mind to bake it from the beginning. If you make a blila ava with the intention to cook it, so the blila ava is not chashuv enough to be called lechem, because you never meant to bake it in the end. But as long as you meant to bake it in the end, so the blila of itself defines it as lechem. Rabbi Nutam is of the opinion that something can be defined as lechem regarding challah if you either have a blila ava or if you have an afia. Right? If you have a dough, and let's say you made the dough with the mindset that you're going to bake it. Rabbi Nutam would agree that that would be called lechem and you'll be chayav in challah. But the Rabbi Natan goes further. And he says, even if you only have a blila raka, even if you only have a batter, a pourable type of mixture, but you bake it afterwards, that afia is enough to shaft the shem lechem. That afia is enough to make it called a bread. Wow. How do we paskin? In Hilchas Challah. So comes the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Challah. This is in the packet 2, on page 1. Shulchan Aruch writes, in Yeridein, Simen Shin, Chav, Tes, Siv, Beis, Isa, Shebli, Losa, Raka, Vafa, Vetaner, Oba, Machvas, etc. Chayev es Bechala. Chayev en Chala. Blila Raka. And you baked it. Says Chayev es Bechala. Says the Shach, in Sivkot and Beis, Shebli, Losa, Raka. The ilu blilasa ava belava chi chayev es bechala elim kain gilgala al das levashla kedibesif shachazem. Says the shach, if you made a blila ava with the mindset that you're going to bake it in the future, you aren't thinking that you're going to be vashla. You already had in mind that you're going to bake it. Whether you changed your mind or not doesn't matter, but you had in mind that you were going to bake it. So that blila ava is chayev and chala anyway, says the shach. So comes the Shulchan Aruch and says that afia is mechayev and challah, right? Afia is mechayev and challah, even on a blila raka. The blila raka itself would not be mechayev and challah, right? The afia is mechayev. You have to have an afia. It's not called lechem without the afia. But if you have the afia, then you can be mafresh challah after the afia. And the shach is just explaining the Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't argue with the Shulchan Aruch. He agrees with the Shulchan Aruch. Frak the Avnei Nezer. What's the shach talking about? Shach here in Hilchas Pasakum says that Nilosh would not be Bechlal Pasakam. Pasim HaBekisim is not Pasakam unless it's made with the Blila Ava and it has a Tzuras HaPas as well. Sounds like it's missing the shem lechem without a blila ova. Yet when it comes to Hilchas Challah, the Shach seems to agree with the Shulchan Aruch that the Rabbeinu Tam is correct, that as long as you have an afia, even if the afia was on a blila raka, it still has a shem lechem and it's chayv and challah. It's the chastir and shachs, he says. I don't understand what he's saying. This is an Avnei Nezer and Yeridayan Sin and Sadi Dalid Sidkot and Gimel. He expands a little bit. He quotes from the Gemara Pesachim, but it comes down to this point. There's a machlokas amarayim. If you do a blila raka, duvshonim, is it a maisa ilfis? Is it a bake it in the chama? This is details. But when all the dust settles, he says everyone would agree. All the amarayim agree that if you have a blila raka that's baked in an oven, not in an ilfis or not bechama, then of course, Rabbeinu Tam would say, of course it's going to be chayiv and chal. So he says, I don't understand the shach. B'shach zev katan, aval kashachoza v'afor chayiv alechem luvim, kavas adosu alei mevarech amotzi kemo b'blilot v'ava. He says, v'divrei ashar v'shem taras chadas b'kan temuim ma'od v'eini yodea liyashva. Wow. The Avnei Nezer says, I don't know how to answer this kash. Pile ploy. This is a collector's act. This is the kind of kasha that when you're online in the camp, this is what you ask the guy in back. I have a kasha in my back pocket. The Avnei Nezer. What's the answer to this kasha? The pel against the shach, he says. It's a steer and shach, he says. Steer and shach. The Aruch HaShulchan doesn't ask a kasha on the shach, but he presents it in the same way. He says that there are rules when it comes to Hilchas Challah. And the rules of Pasakim are subject to the rules of Challah. I mean, Pasakim is a function of Lechem. Challah is a function of Lechem. So it's Tach Bezel Bezach. He says in Kuf Yud Beis if Lamed Aleph, Aruch HaShulchan, Kevin Shnizbar, the Bapas Harbim, Hikilu Chachamim, Velokim Bishulayim, Yesh Lonu Levayim, Ma Nikra Lechem, Ma Nikra Bishul. Oh, Aruch HaShulchan starts off his shir the same way we did. We have to figure out what's Heist Pas and what's Heist Bishul. What's Heist, Bishul, and what is Akum, right? What's called Pas, what's called Bishul, what's called Shalakum? The Ulay Masha Osui Be'ilfe Shekorin Hamava. Okay, whatever. We'll just leave these words out because it's not going to help us very much, right? If you bake it in a pan as opposed to directly in the fire, right? Meaning the fire is underneath the pan, not that the fire is on top of the pan. The fire is affecting the item directly. That's called a regular afia. I mean, even if you bake it in the oven, you're going to put it in a pan. You're not going to put your thing straight on. They used to put the pas on the walls of the oven, but it's still called afia. If you put it in a pan, it's just if the fire is hitting the item directly, then that's called afia betoch hatanah. But if the fire is only underneath the pan, it's underneath the frying pan, then that's a maisa ilfis. Maybe what's made in an ilfis is not called lechem. Omnam dover zela madam yidin challah. But it's just not true, right? We learned the isa shebulas ofa afim hi ayde mashkin b'shem nudvash v'afilu nasis b'machvas even b'machvas havalach b'chay b'challah v'chol shebulas araka v'shelo ayde mashkin afilu nasis b'machvas gam kin havalachem v'rak osan shebulas araka v'al yidei mashkin lo elu yesh landin tav shebul lechem. Zapir hashulchan. The only thing that's not lechem is if it's a blila raka and bishul. Blila raka, if it's a double negative, tarti l'reyesa, then it doesn't have a lechem. Then it doesn't have a shem lechem. But blila raka mitan afia, blila ova even on an afia, right? Blila ova with a bishul, blila raka with an afia. If you have one element, we pass gan yichayev in challah. So it sounds like the Aruch HaShulchan is saying, v'hu adin nami l'gabi pasakum. Just look at challah. Define the lechem. Define the item. If it's defined as lechem for challah, it should be defined as lechem for pasakim. So he doesn't quote the shach, but it's clear that he would argue with the shach as well. So this is what the Chelkas Binyamin quotes, that the Avnei Nezer and the Aruch HaShulchan argue against the shach. And they say that anything that's defined as lechem, le'inyin hilchas challah, which would seem to include b'lila raka that had nafiyah, that would also be defined as pas, vis-a-vis the rule of pasakim. And that's how the Chelkas Binyamin wants to paskin himself. Seems to paskin that way himself. Sivkatan Samagdalid. He says, Miu harbe poskim nechlegu al zeh. On the shach, usvilu deim lechali bekach. The meacha de kaimala b'shulchan aruch harachayim simen kuf samaches, sivches. Da filu isa shabli losa raka dina kafasa ba bekisne. We pass the line in Hilchus Brachas that even Blilosa Raka is Passover Bekisna. What's he talking about? We pass in that way in Hilchus Chala, but what's he talking about in terms of Passover Bekisna? So that's here in Sivches. We have that too. Well, what do you know? We have that too. Page 7. Sivches, Lachmanios, Osan Shebulosan, Ovesh, Koran, Ubliash. Lechem gomeru, mevarich alav hamotzi, berchat hamazon. Va'otzen shebulosan rakav adakim ma'ot shekor niblish. Niblash, mevarich aleim barim in amazonos, barim kamas also aleim mevarich hamotzi. The niblish is made from blila raka, he says it's Passover kissin. What is niblish? So the Mishnah Berurah says, shekor niblish. Kosra achon adayinim ha-shekorin beloshen Rusya. Nalsilka. I'm getting a training in Yiddish and Russian and all the languages. So what is it? So they translate on the bottom. Two circles. Blinces. Shema arvin kemach im harbe mayim b'kedera kemodaisa v'shofchen al ala yirokos v'nefim b'taner im ha'alim. I don't think that's blinces. I think we have another word for that. What's that called? You mix flour and water, and then you pour it onto alim, some kind of leaves, and you bake it that way. What's that called? You put it in a frying pan. You know who made this stuff? What? A pancake? You ever heard of a pancake? Isn't that what he's describing? He's not describing blintzes. Blintzes you make with a dough. It's very thin dough, but then you... No? Isn't blintzes made with a dough? I don't think that's a blila raka. I don't think... maybe the Russian blintzes. You go to the camp and ask them if they have Russian blintzes. Yeah. Maybe the Russian blintzes were made with a blila raka, but I think he's describing a pancake. That's made with a blila raka. So he says, again, I don't know if that's exactly what he's referring to, but blila raka with an afia, pasav bekisnin, if it's, you know, if it's sweetened or whatever you need for the definition of pasav bekisnin, he said it would be pasav bekisnin. You would make a motzi on it. It's called pas, even though it's a blila raka, because you have an afia afterwards. So the Chelkas Binyamin says that we find in brachos also. That a blila raka with an afiyah is called pasav bekisnin. So these achronim argue with the shach, and they say the same should be true for pasaka. V'chein nira ikar ledina. Says the Chelkas Binyamin, he thinks that that's the correct pasak lahalocha. Against the shach, that a blila raka, sponge cake can be subject to the rule of pasakam, not bishalakam. So except aseres mechuba, there's more room for kula. More room for kula by the sponge cake. There would be more room for kula by the sponge cake. So what taka is the machlokas? Why does the shach argue? Well, what's the machlokas, at least in terms of lumdus? Rabbi Simon, in a Beis Yitzchak article in Tov Shin Samach, a couple of years ago. In Tov Shin Samach, he wrote a beautiful piece about Inyanei Pasakum. So he wants to suggest that maybe the shach holds like this. Again, the Ramah paskins like Rabbeinu Yechiel, that even Passover Bekisnin can be subject to the rule of Pasakum. So we thought maybe Rabbeinu Yechiel and the first Antosis are arguing as to whether Pasakum is a function of the Shem Pas, or you need a Pas Choshev. Rabbeinu Yechiel says as long as it's Lechem, then that's subject to Pasakum. And the first Antosis says, no, they agree, make a Hamotzi, but that's not enough to make it subject to Pasakam, because it's Pas, but it's not a Pas Chashuva. That's how we explained. Rabbi Simon suggested, maybe within Rabbeinu Yechiel also, you could raise the question, Rabbeinu Yechiel might also assume that you need Pas Chashuva in order to be subject to the rule of Pasakam. But the question is, how do you define Pas Chashuva? Maybe that's the shaila over here. That the Shach says even Rabbeinu Yechiel holds that just because something is defined as pas, just because it's pasav bekisnin vis-a-vis bracha, and just because it's lechem vis-a-vis challah, doesn't mean it's pas vis-a-vis pasakum. Maybe he holds that you need extra chashivas to be included within the gzeirah pasakum. And that makes a lot of sense, because what's the whole iser pasakum based on? It's mishum chasnas. We're afraid of kiruv hadas, that, you know, through the food, the Jews and the non-Jews are going to be interconnected, and intermarriage might result. So that's all a function of chashivos. So it makes a lot of sense that maybe for the rule of Pasakam, you need more than the Shem Lechem. Rabbi Yechiel says, of course you have a Shem Lechem if it's possible to kiss them. Even a blila raka with an afia will create a Shem Lechem. And that's why there's a chiv of challah, and that's why there would be a hamoti for kaveh suda on that. But who says it's subject to the rule of Pasakam? Because it's not a pas chashuva. It's not a pas chashuva. The Shulchan Aruch holds that even if it's possible to kiss them, it's not a pas chashuva. It's got to be pure pas. Right? He would say it has to be a pas chashuva. Even pas chashuva doesn't qualify. Rabbi Nachil says no. Pas chashuva can qualify, but maybe there's a further machlokas, the Shach and the Avnei Nezer, as to whether even the Ramah, Rabbi Nachil, even they assume it has to be chashuva. Just because it's pas chashuva doesn't automatically define as pas chashuva. Maybe it needs a blila ava in order to be defined as enough of a pas chashuva so that we should be afraid of the gzeirah of chasna. So it comes out that the machlokas Shach and the Avnei Nezer and the Aruch HaShulchan, that machlokas might be whether within Rabbeinu Yechiel, does he also subscribe to this notion that to be subject to the rule of Pasakam, you need a Pas Chashuv? It's just the Shaila is, do we say that you need a Pas Chashuv and therefore without a Belila Ova, it's not a Pas Chashuv? Or do you say no, that he doesn't require Pas Chashuv at all, as long as it's pas over kiss, and it's defined as pas for other halachas, for hamotzi, and for chala. So then it's defined as pas for pasakam, and that would be sufficient to say that this item, that the cake, that the blila raka that has an afia, will be subject to the rule of pasakam. Yes, Mori.
So would that be why Rabbeinu Chiel adds a second element of opening kavayasud on it? Because that is something that adds chashivos.
I think he's just mentioning two points that go in the same direction. He's trying to prove that this item is chashuv. So first he says that ovid lohu afias maisa afias apas. So according to the shach, that means that it's a blila ovid. And he says that you also make a hamotzi. So both of these elements are showing it's a shem lechem, but it's not only a shem lechem, but it's a shem lechem chashuv. So he need both.
Right. First point is enough to show that it's chashuv, but the second point seems
to be... So according to the Avnei Nezer and the Aruch HaShulchan, the reason why he mentions both points is he wants to emphasize the idea. He says, first of all, there's an afia. And I'll show you that afia is important, because in brachas, you're going to make amotzi on it if you're kaveh suda. So he puts, the question is, are the two elements coming together, or is the first point something extra to say that it's not enough that you make amotzi on it, but rather it has to have a shem lechem, but it has to be lechem chashuv, you have to have a blila ova as well, in order for it to be subject to the rule, to the rules of Pasakam.
Rabbi.
Yes, Shlomo.
So if cakes and cookies wouldn't be called pas, would they fulfill all the requirements to be called bishul akum?
If it's not pas, by definition, it's bishul, because it is prepared. Bishul just means that it's been prepared through the medium of.
But I thought there was some kulas by bishul akum, meaning if it's not like lifnei mela.
It's not olah shulchan malachim. So okay, we're going to get to those kulas, but I'm saying we have to then apply the rules of bishul akum to this element. That's the point.
Could it come out though that the shach was actually being more meiko? If you say that, let's say cakes and cookies wouldn't be served at like a king's table, then they wouldn't fall into the. It wouldn't be pas akum, and it wouldn't be considered bishul akum either.
Right, so we have to see that, whether the din of olah shulchan malachim is a tanai in pas akum too. But I hear, according to what you're saying, if the tanai of ein olah shulchan malachim doesn't apply to pas akum, you know what? Let's hold that point. Okay, let's develop a little bit more, and we'll see how that applies. So it comes out. It comes out according to the Shach, there might be a chumrah. There might be a chumrah. Let's say a person is unable to light the fire where they're making this cake. So if he's unable to light the fire, so then if the item is olah shulchan malachim, as Shlomo was mentioning, if it's a choshev, a type of it's a cake. It's a sponge cake, you know. Maybe they'll serve. You never saw a sponge cake at a king's table, you know. At the kiddush, at kiddushim, they serve sponge cakes. I've never seen kings at the kiddush, but mistama, they could serve sponge cake at the king's table. So according to the Shach, if we say that Blila Raka that has Nafi is subject to the rules of Bishalakam and not the Pasakam, so it would come out of Chumrah that the halachas of Bishalakam have to be followed. And then even those who are Makil and Pasakam in general would have to be Machmir. Right? According to the Avnei Nezer, you'd be able to be Makil except for Aseres Mechuba. Right? If you're going to be Makil for Pasakam a whole year, and that's a Shaila, we talked about that. Shach is Machmir in general, but if you're Makil for Pasakam a whole year, so if you take the Avnei Nezer's approach, then there's still room, there will be room to be Makil the whole year, but you have to be Machmir, Aseres Mechuba, like you're Machmir for Pasakam. There is one other caveat that we should add, and that's what the Chelkas Binyamin points out. You know, we talked about a Blila Raka with an Afia, but how about a Blila Raka with a Bishul? Blila Raka with a Bishul, what do you mean? Well, maybe not a Bishul, but let's talk about frying. Right? What kind of scenario could that be? A Blila Raka with frying. Well, let's say you have a Blila Ova, but it was Al Das Levashel Metchila. Remember, from Hilchas Chala, it seems like the Rashmi Shans, the Rishonim, the Shach mentioned this, that if you have in mind to bake it, to cook it in the end, even with the Blila Ova, it still doesn't have a Shev Lechem. So let's say you have a Blila Ova, a dough that you prepared, but you plan on deep frying it. Sufganiyot. Donuts. Dunkin' Donuts. You never thought we would mention Dunkin' Donuts in the Shir. I know. I should get a cut on the lunches that you guys are going to be buying after this year. So what's the din of donuts? Are donuts subject to the Chumas of Bishul Akum? Or maybe they're Bechlal Pasakum? So that's what the Chelkas Binyamin adds at the end. He says, V'chol zeim afo'on betanro be'ilfes b'lo mashke, avalin bishlon otignon b'mashke dina ketavshon. V'lachein tzu ganiyot hanasos me'isa rakom v'tugonos b'shem dina ketavshon. So ganiyot, there are different types of donuts. This is described in different ways. I think most of the Dunkin' Donuts are made with a Blila Ova. They have actually a dough, and then they dunk them into a vat of oil. You know, you could watch this. I think Krispy Kreme has like a whole thing where you can watch the. Most people, after they watch the donuts being created, they never eat another donut. It's like you can't believe how much. Really, you dunk it into a vat of oil. Yeah. But some people eat even more. So whatever group you're from. But what's the rule in terms of Pasakam? So some of the donuts, from what I understand, they're made with a Blila Ova. And others are made with a Blila. It's not quite a pourable batter, but it's like a softer batter. And they grab off a little bit, and then they throw it into the oil. Like Pop'ems or something, you know. I don't know if that's made with such a hard batter. I'm not sure. So he's talking about two cases here. There's a Blila Raka with the deep fry, and then a Blila Ova with the deep fry. But he basically says that a deep fry, you know, there's a Shailen Poskim, but the Tigun is Bechal Bishul, Bechal Afia. But that's regular fry. That's when you add just a little bit of oil into a frying pan to prevent the item from getting burnt. But deep frying is like Bishul. So does it matter that you're cooking in oil or cooking in water? It's basically Bishul. So Zokta Chalgas Ben Yamin, if you're going to deep fry the item, then certainly, even if it's a Blila Ova, certainly it doesn't have a din of pas. It doesn't have a din of pas. So forgetting the Shach, everyone would say that such an item, that donuts would be subject to, deep fried donuts should be subject to the rules of Bishul Akum, not the Pas Akum. Okay, so if you say that donuts are subject to the rule of Bishul Akum, then Kolashon Akuli, you got to make sure that it's not Bishul Akum. You're going to have to find a way. Turn on the oven, do something to turn it into Bishul Yisur, because if not, you're going to have a problem. So it'll turn out a Kula, a Aseres Mechuva, you could still buy Dunkin' Donuts, because if you assume that it's Bishul Akum, then you had to solve the problem the whole year. So it's never Pas Akum. So even Aseres Mechuva, there would be room to be Mekel to continue eating these donuts, because they're not Pas Akum Bechlal. So there are chumras and kulas, you know. You wouldn't have the chumra of Aseres Mechuva of Pasakam, but you'd have to treat it as Bishul Akum. You'd have to deal with that chumra kolashana kula. Okay, this is in terms of, you know, cakes and cookies and donuts. The idea that we mentioned that You know what? Let's stop here for the halacha. Let's stop here for the halacha. We'll continue in the next one because I want to develop this note.